Here's three things that will help us get the most out of a conference. And this first one is total dependence upon God. And I guess this is the way we did that, wasn't it? Number one, total dependence upon God, not on men. Tonight, our message is bring forth fruit that remains. And as we think of bringing forth fruit that remains, I would like to share with you three things that will help us get out of this conference what God wants to get into our lives. Three barometers that we might use. This is number one, a total dependence upon God, not men. And then a total loyalty to God, not men. Total loyalty to God, not men. And then the third one here is totally free from being critical of God and men. Totally free from being critical of God and men. Let's look at three great men in the Bible that I believe really reveal what's on God's heart on these three important topics here tonight. And the first one here is this fellow David over in 1 Samuel 17. In David, 1 Samuel 17. You remember David was the giant killer. He was the man that tended his father's sheep. He slew a bear and a lion. And God used him to slay the giant, and through this, entering into a kingship of a great nation. Here's a picture of Sir David, the giant killer, slinging the old rock, and that giant never had anything enter his head like that before. But I believe that David gives a real illustration of a total dependence upon God. And let's read in 1 Samuel 17. Those of you that have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel 17, verses 31 through about 37. And in this, you remember in verse 26, David, in visiting the camp where the army was stationed, and this giant was parading up and down, harassing the troops. And David began to ask some questions. And then as he got the story together that, boy, this big giant had all the guys scared. And it says here in verse 26 in 1 Samuel 17, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And then down at 31, as soon as Saul got word of this, they ushered this young man into his presence. It says, "And when the words were heard which David spoke, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for David. And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him, this giant. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth.' And David said unto Saul, 'Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God.' David said, moreover, 'The Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said unto David, 'Go, and the Lord be with thee.'" And I believe that we see here in this person, David, a man that was dependent upon God in going to accomplish this insurmountable task, a man that had caused a fear to come over the armies of the living God. And you know the story well of David picking up his sling and those stone and went out to meet this giant. And there was an accomplishment there through David that day, all that God wanted to do in removing this giant. Well, then, another illustration here of another great man in the Bible is this man, Paul. And in this one, in Paul, in Acts 22, verses 14 and 15, remember, Paul was on the road to Damascus, and he was hit by a light from Jesus Christ himself. And it says, as he went up to Ananias, he told Paul, he said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." And I believe that here with Paul, we see a total loyalty to God, not to men. And this is through all of Paul's life. And in verse 14, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one." I like the way it's brought out in Galatians 1:12 in the Living New Testament. From Paul, the missionary, and all the other Christians here to the church of Galatia. "I was not called to be a missionary by any group or agency. My call is from Jesus Christ himself and from God the Father who raised him from the dead." Paul was the one in Colossians 3:23 that said, "And whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." And I believe that a motivating factor in my own life as a Christian is the fear of not accomplishing the job that God wants to do through my life in the time that he's giving here upon the earth. And Ecclesiastes 12:13 sums this up. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, and he said in Ecclesiastes 12:13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And I believe this was what was the motivating factor in Paul's life, a man that was desirous to serve and to please the living God, to accomplish all that God wanted to do through him. And he was loyal in accomplishing this. He said in Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So here we see in David a total dependence upon God, not man. And we see in Paul's life a total loyalty to God, not man. And then another character in the Old Testament is Nehemiah. And I believe that with Nehemiah, we see a person that is totally free from being critical of God and men. And here's a little illustration of this man, Nehemiah. Shows him here as a dead man. And I believe that Nehemiah was a man, as the cupbearer depicts this to me, that he was dead to himself and alive in Christ. And in this, with Nehemiah, the third verse of Nehemiah 1, he says, "And they said unto me, the remnant who are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire." And Nehemiah, seeing this, had great compassion. And in verse 4 he says, "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." And we see here with Nehemiah a man of God that has compassion for his people and could have been killed through this nation or some of his own people that would get to the king with some poison. It says in verse 11 here, he says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who delight to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Now this job as a king's cupbearer was a tricky one. And I believe that as we read Nehemiah, and if you will, read through these stories again, just to refresh your mind. But we see in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 through about 11, of Nehemiah's prayer. A man that saw a need, and then instead of going to the king, he went to God. And a man that believed in the sovereignty of God, that believed that God had a job for him to do, and that he could do this job of serving the king, which I believe brought Nehemiah to a place where he could take on a bigger responsibility of building the wall around his nation. So here is a picture of three men. Total dependence upon God, not man. Total loyalty to God, not man. And totally free from being critical of God and men. And I believe that all three of these men would portray this characteristic. And as we think of this conference of God, build this into our lives, that Jesus Christ might be glorified here, that we would be men and women that would have these three basic attitudes in our heart and life. Here is one here that I believe goes along with the thought with Nehemiah of God's blessing being upon a nation who rejected God, fell in sin. God brought chastisement to them. There was a repentance to this man Nehemiah coming back to God and repenting of the sin of his people and of his own heart. And then coming back into God's blessing, because God accomplished the work that he wanted to do through this servant, Nehemiah. And chapter 6, verse 16, brings this out. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard of this, and all the nations that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was wrought by our God. This work was wrought by our God. So that as we acknowledge all that we have in Christ, our resources, that we can come to Him and believe Him to take care of this sin in our lives. Possibly there's some here in a group this size that have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And maybe you've experienced this of acknowledging, well, Lord, I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've heard the gospel message of God's love for you. And I know in my own life, I have sinned and I've come short of the glory of God. And I have blown it with my family and with the team. But as we look at this thing of God's great love for us and reaching down into our heart and lives and transforming us into men and women that can co-labor with Him and accomplish what's on His heart for a lost world. Jesus says in Romans 5:8 that He commends His love toward us. In the while we were yet sinners, that Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus paid for it all on the cross, and He wants to come into your heart and your life and empower you. And I think of Christ speaking of these three basic attitudes that will help us get the most out of a conference like this. If you've never made this decision for Christ, talk to someone here tonight. If you have business to do with God, talk with God about this tonight. Settle this thing here this evening. Turn with me to Matthew. Matthew 5 in your Bible. And see where Jesus Christ Himself is speaking of these three basic attitudes that will help us get the most out of a conference like this, to bring forth fruit that will remain. In Matthew 5, verse 3, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This thing of being poor in spirit means a dependence upon God, an emptying out of myself, of acknowledging a need here for repentance, that I might come back into God's blessing. And then over in Matthew 6, verse 1, He says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen by them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father who is in heaven." Boy, I've done this, gang. When someone comes along, get out the old verse pack or put on that spiritual facade. But this attitude of doing this as unto Jesus Christ, as Paul mentioned there in Colossians 3:23, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto God and not unto men." And then in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 3, Jesus is saying, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment is ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye measure, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" Someone has said that the critical spirit denotes a root of insecurity. The reason we criticize another is to kind of cut them down to our size. I know I've been guilty of this. Let me give you four guidelines that will help us get these three attitudes into our lives. Four guidelines that will help us get these three attitudes that we're speaking of here tonight. The thing of a total dependence upon God, a total loyalty to God, not man, and then to be totally free from being critical of God and men. And number one in these four guidelines that will help us get these three attitudes into our lives is yielding. And I like the way Paul brings this out in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This is number one, the yielding to God, that He might accomplish this through our lives. And then number two is the cleansing of our lives. 1 John 1:9 is that Christian bar of soap, of coming to Jesus Christ, that He would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But jot down 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. He says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." cleanse ourselves, to come to Jesus Christ who paid it all on the cross and ask Him, Lord, forgive me, and name it, whatever it is. God knows what it is. Call it what God calls it and do business with Him. And then the third one here is obeying God. After we've yielded to the Holy Spirit, to God the Father, God the Son, then asking for cleansing, and then obeying the living God. And a verse there in John 17:17. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Being sanctified through the truth of the living God. 2 Corinthians 8:11 is a terrific verse on this, where Paul is speaking to us. And he says, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Well, what do we have, gang? We have Jesus Christ and all of His power, and He's paid the price for us on the tree. We have His strength and His wisdom and His guidance. And He wants to do this through us as we are obedient to Him. Then number four under these guidelines is using grace. Using the grace that Jesus Christ has given us. Someone has spelled grace as God's riches at Christ's expense. Isn't that good? God's riches at Christ's expense. I don't have anything to offer, but Jesus Christ does, and He paid it all. And in 2 Corinthians verses 12, verse 9, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Isn't that good? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Jesus spoke of this in Matthew 28:18. He says, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. So that as we come to Jesus Christ, we see this strength that He wants to give us.